Morning.
First of two questions. Number one, are you a fatalist, and do you get anything encouraging about this snowstorm on the night of the whiteout?
What was the question again? Sorry?
I say, are you a fatalist, or do you believe in good omens? Let's put it that way.
Okay.
So are you reading anything into this snowstorm on the night of the whiteout?
I would say no, probably not. Snowstorm in Winnipeg wouldn't be that big an aberration over the course of the year. We've seen them occasionally. But it's great. You know, even, believe it or not, and I only read the headlines occasionally, the idea of the fans getting to come to a playoff game, getting together as a group and all coming in white, and that being something that they were known for, and in a way they can be a part of it. I think, I guess every coach says this, but there really seems here in Winnipeg to be a great connection between the fans of the Jets, the ones at the game, but the outside, and their team. So I'm looking forward to it.
Question number two. It'll
be simpler.
Yes. Before the series started, you were asked about patience and how it compares to the regular season as opposed to the playoffs. Where are you at of the patience level in terms of some of your better scorers starting to produce and seeing the need to tweak that a little bit?
So 5-on-5, we're at 3-3, both teams. I would concede that they had a higher number of chances in game two than they did in game one. We are going to need to get above the ledger 5-on-5. On the positive side of that, especially given where the special teams race is at right now. So we will be looking for things that they can do, those players, but also our whole group, to increase the general offense of our team.
Paul, just off of Kelly's...
That was a snowstorm.
Just kind of a follow-up to Kelly's question. In how do you balance... You said yesterday you didn't like the chances that you guys were getting. How do you balance trusting your lines and maybe giving it a chance of a new look?
So you're asking me to change the lines?
Yeah.
So whether it's the regular season, the playoffs, you're probably going out with two or three ideas of changes that you would make based on what you've seen. There are stages that will happen prior to you making wholesale changes in your lines, especially being minus injuries, how consistent we've been with our lines this year and the chemistry that's been built on those lines.
Given how the last two games have played out, the number of hits, some incidents, Matthew Perreault, that call going unpassed.
What was that part?
The play, just how hostility it's been, the number of hits, this... And then the added emotion of the crowd tonight. How do you keep that in check and make sure this maybe doesn't get out of hand?
I would almost suggest the opposite is true about the physicality, that there hasn't been nearly the animosity that any series can get to. There have been a lot of hits here. There have been some transgressions, players crossing the line, calls. I'm sure they've got their list. We have our list of things that we think should have been called. A little bit of barking on the ice. There have been nearly as many scrums as you would see in the regular season with that kind of hitting that's going on in this series. I don't balance those emotions. Balance are important. We've tried to push it to the line every game, been fairly successful, especially in the last 6 weeks, of holding that line, of not crossing it to the point that you're... That it's not an evenly called game.
Paul, you your team did a better job on faceoffs in game two than in game one. With home ice, would you anticipate that getting even better, and how important is it?
We were good in game one, period one, very good, and good overall in the second game. Again, I think I'd said coaches, I think, put a lot higher importance level on face-offs than the analytics say that you should, based on what happens after face-offs. It'll be very important. Being at home does get you at least a stick by the visitor, even if it's momentarily down, but something close to the ice would be an improvement.
Last change tonight. Will you Will you look for a hard match, or are you going to be flexible?
I'll be flexible tonight.
Why is that?
Because I can be. Because we have enough based on the two games, and we've seen, keep in mind they lost Wagner early, and so we saw just a rotating center, different line matchups for the remainder of the evening. There are lots of analytics that'll tell you who's which lines are effective 5-on-5 in terms of offense generated. They look a little different than what you might read in the paper. But yeah, I'll move the lines around a little bit more. That being said, I didn't have last change anyway, so what you saw may not be our ideal game plan.
Their top guys have been able to be effective, and your top guys have been blank so far. You can't do anything about that in terms of, you know, as a coach. But how does a team react when their top end guys aren't going?
One of two ways, I think. Either with the confidence that it's an inevitability, but that your best players over their 500 to 1,000 games that they've played have proven to be able to, over a large sample, produce, so that there would be patience there. And then you're also looking for an excitement level off the Lowry-Slater line that says, you know, we can be the difference. We can add something. And I think I had Adam at 30% of our offense, and he corrected me to say it was actually 67% because he was on the ice for the party goal. Get a goal a game out of that line, we'd be pretty darn happy with it.
Paul, what's your best personal hockey in Winnipeg story, especially maybe tied to making the playoffs? And is coaching here different in any way even than Toronto?
It's completely different in Toronto, but we're talking about different contexts. Toronto was before Twitter. Changes the volume. And Toronto's team was moving in a certain direction that I think is probably, we were old and about to start getting, leveling off to middle age, and this is a young team that's trying to come up and change. Different dynamic, you know, I mean, it's been 41 years, or 41 when I was there, 40 when I was there, and 41. And here they hadn't had a team for a long block of time. So a completely different feel. Small town. I mean, everybody, and just go outside, everybody's got a Jets thing on. There's a real connection here there's an appreciation for their team, for the fact that they're back. And my best story about being in Winnipeg isn't one thing, and I won't be able to articulate it well, but it goes to what I had said just previously. The fans here come up and thank you, like you had anything to do with the team coming back, which I didn't, for being here. And I said this poorly before, and I'll say it again. You get the feeling that you're kind of like the teacher here, and you've got their kids. And their kids is the Winnipeg Jets hockey team. And through the course of the regular season, you know, they've been getting some pretty average to below average marks, and they're finally getting some good grades. So they kind of come over and thank you like, hey, my kids are doing great. But at the end of the day, you'd be foolish to lose sight of the fact that these aren't my kids. This is Winnipeg's team. These are these players. Coaches are going to come and go. Everything moves. But they have now an attachment to these players and how hard they've played. There's a big chunk of it is what they've seen this year, that there's a connection there that's different than any place I've been.
Coach, so much has been made of experience going into this playoff series. You had 8 or 9 players who've now experienced it. Is this a new experience, the first home game? And
sure,
everybody talks about the atmosphere that you have to be aware of, or are they through all that?
Oh, I hope they're not through it. Well, this is something we want to experience here. We want to take it all in and use it and drive it. And our goal is to give our fans as many opportunities as possible to get that building lit up. And the idea of, you know, you don't want to get too high, fine. That might be 5 or 6 years down the road when we've figured out a way to get fully high, to get completely amped up for this game, to use this crowd to our advantage. So we want to experience all of it, the building, that excitement. We need it. We need it from the building going in. You've dropped two. You can feel confident in all those things, but you're not feeling as confident as you would be if you were up two. So we need the building in here tonight, and we need to give them they're not going to need a reason at the start, but we're going to need to give them a reason at some point during this game to keep her going.
Paul, good possession numbers during the regular season, especially down the stretch when you wrap things up. Those numbers are off over the first couple of games, and you've talked about wanting to create more chances. Did you anticipate the possession being as hard to come by for you as it has been?
I thought the possession would be low and evenly low for both teams, and was comfortable. So we do different possession numbers, all right, so it wouldn't be a shot attempt. Concept, but it got more skewed heavily in the second game. We didn't particularly care for that. I'm saying to you, you know, we got to try to generate more offense. That's a very, very general statement. What we're talking about are things that are far more specific in terms of what we're doing with the puck, how we're moving the puck. It's also as a general statement, it's a dangerous thing to be doing in a playoff series, trying to figure out how you can generate more offense. And maintain your confidence in your ability to give less.